This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 101. Not to spoil it for you, but this episode ends in goodbye.
Electric Sisterhood, home of the best,
the fucking best
girl gaming tech gadget and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sista.
I'm Pandalicious.
And I'm Magic Mystic Girl.
Welcome to yet another episode of the ESH podcast.
Yo, yo, yo.
Yo. We broke 100.
Yo, 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 yo.
Oh, it's just like that Basement Jack song. The one that goes, yo, 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 yo.
Yeah, that's
yo,
what Esh yo, Mom's yo, ringtone yo. For you is. Because every time you call, I'm like, what the hell is that? Oh, wait, it's Ninja. Like, Mom, Ninja's calling you.
Yes, yes. Well, I figured that was the best way to go. Although one of the things that I'm going to be doing probably this weekend is making another ringtone. Because for anybody that's out there, before we get to the business piece, our mom really has difficulty hearing... Pretty much, I think, hearing anything in general, unless it's drinks are ready. shit you not. But
no, I know.
But what's really funny is no matter what phone she has and what ringtone we use, she just can't seem to hear it. Personally, I believe it's because she leaves her phone in her pocketbook in another room. But she swears that even when it is near her, she can't hear it. So I'm actually going to make a ringtone for her this weekend, which is literally just going to be my voice, maybe some drum and bass in the back, going, Mom, your fucking phone is ringing right now, so you should pick it up right now. Your fucking phone is ringing. You should pick it up right now.
Now.
That would be hilarious. I would love a ringtone like that.
And I bet you, enough times being out in public, with that ringer going off,
she'd get better at answering
She'll
it.
She'll get better at answering that phone, like, quick and in a hurry.
Yeah, because you can, like, add more and more swears as the ringtone goes
exactly.
on.
Exactly. And it's like, bitch, don't you hear this ringtone? I know you hear it. It's your phone. Shit, yeah,
but no. But, you know, Esh Mom would just be like, she's here?
Yeah, then she'd get totally distracted and go looking for you.
Well, and then I can.
She wouldn't realize
one.
It was her phone.
Yes, I'm in your pocketbooks, ringing your phone.
Like I'm trapped in your phone. Let me out. Let me out.
I'm not this short, but damn it, I'm in the box. I'm in the box. Open it up.
Oh my God, that reminds me of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Yes, Mike TV.
Mikey.
Yep. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. And hopefully she'll start picking up her phone.
That'd be pretty cool. It might work.
I know that when I had my ringtone set as the Shauna song, I was getting some head. I was pretty quick to catch the phone by the time when it goes, I was getting some. Yeah.
I was getting some mail. I was getting mail.
Yes.
I was
yes.
getting groceries.
I was getting to pick up my phone. But I wasn't getting to the interwebs because it was very, very slow on my previous phone. But if you guys have faster connections to the internet, you should definitely check us out on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com. Or you can use the short address, which is...
Oh, you're going to let me say it now?
Yeah, I am.
All right. ESH.mobi. That's ESH.mobi. The short address bounces you to the long one. You check our articles. You can comment to them straight there. Or you can use the hit us up link if you have something else in particular. I think we have a phone number.
Yes.
That leads to a voicemail.
You know, the toll-free number.
A toll number. You can check that out. Leave us a voicemail.
Toll-free.
It's not a toll number. It's
not a toll number. It's a toll-free
number. It's a phone number. It's a phone number and it's free. Free phone numbers. It's not a toll. I'm sorry. I'm an idiot. And you can email us. And you can check us out on iTunes or any RSS feed. or any other podcast center like Podcast Pickle, or our lovely foster parents over at All Games.
They're not foster parents. They're just family. They're like cousins.
They're cousins.
Foster parents makes them seem so old.
They're the cousins that we don't go around with because that's illegal.
Yeah, you shouldn't go bounce with your cousins. Although, if they were
second cousins, though, you could.
Yeah, if they were second cousins.
Yeah, but that's
cousins,
still fucking nasty.
Depends on where you are in the country. But here's the thing, though. If they were second cousins, I'd think about it because the people over at All Games are kind of hot. I'm just going to say it.
Really?
Seriously.
I'm going to have to go.
See, this is why you should come out to events with me.
I should check this out.
Except for, let me not say that. What I will say, though, is you should definitely check out our show over on the All Games Radio Network and some of the other shows, like Super Happy Fun Time Show, Fantastic Forum, Dead Pixel Live, Evil Avatar, even All Games Interactive, which is a great show. We kind of sort of got our start there, got noticed there. That was the jump off for us, really. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I said it.
Well, they asked you all the important questions, and they just asked me if I had a boyfriend.
Actually, the other question that they asked you was how delicious was Pandelicious?
Yeah,
and
I know.
I still have yet to answer that question.
Well, because
those to me would be the questions I'd want to answer rather than like any technological questions or anything about the podcast or anything.
Oh man, they were very professional with her, but they're like, so Panda. I'm like, yeah. Because I knew it was coming. It's like, so how delicious are you? And I'm like,
It was so cute. She was so shy. And I'm sitting there and I was like, that is not my sister. She'd usually be like, more delicious than you can handle. I mean, very. And instead she was like, I have an answer for that question. And I don't know.
whereas, like, if you invited them here and they asked that question, she'd be like, my milkshake brings all the boys to the yard.
Exactly.
So I just sit back and I was just cracking up laughing because I'm like, oh my God, she's so shy.
Yeah.
She's so shy. That is not my sister. Anybody that listens to the show from here on out is going to be like, that was not the same girl that was in the interview on the show.
No. No, no, no.
You lied.
Yeah. Me?
No, I wasn't. It was pressure.
She can't handle it.
I came to pressure.
But you should just succumb to us and be part of the family. Like Panda said, comment on our stuff. We love dialoguing with you guys back and forth. And I've got a couple of answers for some people that have used the comment. Hit us up link on the website. Marla, I've got your answer coming very soon in an email. So be on the lookout for that. As well as some answers to some questions that Jarell has asked us. So keep in contact with us, guys. We absolutely love it. I don't have any other big news other than it looks like we're not going to be able to go to E3. Big bummer. Massive bummer. And that's something that I'm going to be talking about a little bit later on when I do my segment, is some of the things that are going on with the ESA and E3 in general, and then my angry rant. So I'm going to take the mic of 1,000 truths right now, and I'm just going to kind of fling it over in Pandalicious's directions and see what she does with it.
Well, I'm going to talk.
Don't do anything nasty. I'm really not in the mood.
Oh my God, I'm not like this.
Bill, you drop the mic of 1,000 truths.
It just hovered because of my magical, mystical, hovering panda powers.
Pandas don't have hovering powers.
I'm the magical, mystical one, remember?
No.
You're just
a
panda.
Wait, do the two of you have babies? I'm confused. How did you become a magical, mystical panda?
You're slightly fuzzier than
I have magical hovering abilities, randomly.
Yeah, but you can't describe them as magical and mystical.
No, it's just magical. I randomly sometimes
That's
hover.
My thing.
You hover?
Yes, I hover.
I only hover a little bit off the ground. I can't like fly or anything. It's like a hover.
Levitation is boring. The rest of us can fly.
Yeah, I don't so much fly, but I can jump off of stuff.
Yeah, you can jump really high.
Yeah, I can do that. I can also be throwing things while I'm doing the jumping. Yeah.
Yeah, you're very acrobatic.
I am, actually. That's why I'm a ninja. Yep.
But anyway, so I'm using my magical slight hover powers to save the mic of 1,000 truths because I'm not paying for another one.
That's
those thousands. The first 20 truths are okay, but after that they get expensive.
Yeah, they do.
Let me tell you.
So
I have no idea.
So today, I've been begging for anime that was different, and didn't follow the mainstream pattern. And this really just, you know, pretty much brings me to Best Buy. I close my eyes, I spin around 3 times, and I look for a series that I don't already own, which is kind of hard, but I found one.
I don't think you should spin all the way around, because if you're going to the Best Buy I think you're going to, if you point the wrong direction, one side of the aisle is anime, and the other side is,
horror.
Yeah, horror.
Well, here's my thing. I've been really disappointed in the stock of anime that's been at Best Buy's lately, because the ones that I go to, all they have are starter boxes. They don't even have 3 or 4 volumes of a series, let alone full collections, which they used to.
Yeah, carry. I never buy at Best Buy. If I want something, I look for it online, because I don't know who's selling it, but it's not any of the stores I'm shopping at.
Yeah.
And, you know, like Suncoast went under recently, or, you know, the one at the mall did. And that's where I used to get everything. And, you know, they're gone. So I have no other options, really. Unless I want to, you know, stockpile my money and wait for AB.
You know, see, my problem with that is it makes it really difficult because I don't know what it is that I'm looking for. So going to the internet doesn't really do me a lot of good when I, you know, I'm reading a quick synopsis of a story. You know, I still like to be very tactful and look at, you know, box art and find out, okay, is this something that I'm really going to enjoy or not? And, you know, I kind of, by the way that the packaging feels to me also, I make a decision on whether this is probably going to be something that they made an investment in distribution, or something that they pushed out the door. You know, if I pick up a volume and it's one of the very, very cheap, easy to get black cases that's already kind of broken because they use the really, really cheap plastic, and I can hear the disc moving around inside because, again, they use the cheap plastic. I'm pretty much knowing that the dub that I'm about to buy or not buy in this case is shit.
Oh, and I haven't listened to dubs in forever anyway, so.
Well, it's really hard. I'm bogarting the mic, but it's really hard down here in Virginia to actually find stuff that is subtitled unless you go to an anime specialty shop.
Well, usually DVDs contain both the dub and the sub.
Yeah.
Some of them don't, though. Some of them just have the dub, and that's when they've really gone on the cheap. Like, I got a couple of Petite Princess Yuusi discs that all they had.
Sorry.
Shut up! I needed a pick-me-up.
I'm not laughing at your taste at all.
Wow.
Not even a little bit.
I needed a pick-me-up, but the disc that I bought.
Oh, that with her giant forehead.
But the only thing that was on the 2 discs that I got was the dub. It didn't have the subtitles.
Yeah.
And I was really kind of surprised by that. Now, when I went and I bought the box set from Amazon, it had both tracks. But the store that I bought these from, which kind of led me to believe that they might have been a little bit bootleg, didn't have it. It just had the dub on it.
Yeah.
So, anyway. So
yeah, these days you can't tell what's bootlegging and not, because people are getting so good at counterfeiting.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck.
All right. So you're spinning around in the Best Buy, and people are looking at you like,
no, no one was in the aisle.
Oh, okay.
Just me.
Oh.
Except that one guy, she almost poked in the eye.
So I spun around, I put my finger out, and I scanned, and I found this anime. And it's called Hell Girl. And the visual art on the front is very pretty, very detailed, you know, and it's kind of awkward. Kind of in that awkward, The Ring, you're going to die in 7 days, creepy, kind of, sort of.
Okay.
And I was like, okay. I'm like, now is this going to be bloody and gory? Because sometimes I'm in the mood for that and sometimes I'm not.
Right.
But I was desperate because I'm looking for something different. So I pick up the first 2 volumes. And I also got the first 2 volumes of Speedgrapher. So that's coming next week, guys. For sure.
Hey, you and I can team up on that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
We can
all go in on that one.
We can do a threesome.
Yeah.
On Speedgrapher.
Anyway.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. Woohoo! Go Team Venture. no, I'm sorry.
We need to come up with the cheer. We do, because I just want, I need something like ESH-ish to just shout out that we can all.
I know, we need to have like a punchline that we all say, but.
I'll get to work on that.
But anyway, so I pop this disc in like 3 days after I buy it because, you know, I went back to playing GTA and I'll watch it. And then I was like, you know what? I'm finally going to watch it. And, you know, I was expecting it to be kind of like a basic synopsis of the story is pretty much there is this website called Hell Correspondence. It only shows up at midnight. So you have to be like typing it in like right before midnight. And you have to have this strong sense of revenge. Like you want to cast revenge on someone who's wronged you. And not like a simple wrong. I mean like seriously psychosomatic. I'm fucking with your brain with a spoon and you don't like it. You know,
I can't say I wouldn't.
Leave me alone. Leave her alone. But, you know, kind of like that type of anguish. And, you know, and it's pretty bad. So, you know, so say, hypothetically, I lived in this anime world. Say we all did. We're all going to an anime world.
Yay!
And, trip.
And magic, like, say I'm like this, like, mousy girl and, you know, people don't really hate me, you know, but, you know, there's, like, the popular girl in the room. And we'll say magic's the popular girl in the room and everyone does what she says. And the popular girl doesn't really like me. So she begins to torment me. And I mean, to the point where she...
Bitch!
Like, she blackmails her. You know, she starts spreading all these rumors and... I become so, like, torn down by it that I feel like I need to take revenge against her because she's just done such wrong to me. So I stalk this site, and when you click, you know, type in Hell Correspondence, you know, it goes all black and this flame shoots up, and basic kanji shows up, and it pretty much says, your grievance shall be avenged. You know, that's, like, it translated. And you put the name of whoever it is who is tormenting you.
Okay.
And pretty
it's
much...
It's not necessarily all direct, because I remember one girl did it for a friend of hers, too.
Yes, in Silent Friendship.
Yeah.
I think that's episode 7 or 8. But
well,
yes.
I read the manga, so I don't know the anime that well.
I think it's like episode 7 or 8 in the anime. But for the all the stories that I've watched thus far have been directs. So I have, you know, that's the first one that it hasn't been. But so this, you know, pretty much.
So it's kind of like Death Note, but on the web?
Like, no, but yeah. Like, you know, Death Note was a lot more creative because, you know, Light was just like, you're going to get hit by a bus. You're going to drill a hole in your face. You're going to, you know, like, he planned things out, which was genius. But, you know, this site doesn't really work that way. A girl will show up to you, and she has long black hair, and she has these big red eyes. You know, and she looks harmless, and her name is I.
Satan?
And she has a very monotone voice, and she's very soft. And she's holding a black straw doll that has a red string around its neck. And she goes, she hands it to you. And she pretty much tells you that if you really wish revenge on this person, that all you have to do is pull this thread. However,
pull the string. Pull the string.
Pull my finger.
She's like, you know, she's pull the string and it binds you in a covenant with her. And she will then ferry your tormentor's soul straight to hell. However, when you die, your soul also goes to hell, and you never...
It's a twofer.
Yeah. But the thing is, you know, and at first, like, the first few, like, instances where when she says this line, you know, she's just like, well, when you die, your soul will go to hell. But, you know, and then later on, I think around, like, episode 5, she was like, well, that's when you die. You know, so all of a sudden, you know, slowly she starts speaking more and more about it. Because at first you think, so wait, I pull the string, you ferry their soul to hell. And then what, do I die right away and I go to hell? Because that's not cool. But that's not the case. Like, you continue to live. And at the point when you die, your soul goes to hell.
So if you got another 30 or 40 years from that time, then you get to live out that 30 or 40 years. And
that's right.
Just when you
and then you go to hell.
You go to hell. Yeah. That's not a bad deal.
Yes, but, well, I mean, it's kind of
But then you have
awkward.
To live your whole life in fear of the fact that you are going to hell.
Yeah, not really. I mean, if I got my revenge against the person, like, if I was that pissed off at somebody that I really wanted to make their soul go to hell, that's probably a deal I'm willing to make. Not really going to have difficulty sleeping.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but a lot of them, to me, I was like, that's very much not worth it. A lot of them seem to be petty revenges.
Like, I think the only one thus far that I really felt, you know, like, that, you know, it was probably a fair trade. There's a story where there's a family that just moved into this neighborhood. And there's like a queen bee in this neighborhood. And everyone listens to this woman because if you don't, she will make your life a living hell. Mm-hmm. And this new country wife, you know, is walking home with her daughter and she's looking around spaciously and she looks through this window and this queen bee of the neighborhood is having an affair. Now, she doesn't say anything to anyone, you know, and she kind of just, you know, looks down and, you know, goes about her business. And the queen bee shows up and she's like, if you tell anyone what you saw, I will make your life a living hell. So what does she do? She starts to find ways to discredit this country wife who's very quiet and doesn't do anything. Mm-hmm. You know, like she starts sending these men to show up at her house so that it looks like this country bumpkin is, you know, having affairs. And, you know, and I mean, seriously, torments, you know, this woman. And at one point they break into the house, this queen bee and this guy, and they take these pictures that make it look like, you know, that's what they're doing. And she's like, if you don't want me circulating these pictures, you will keep your mouth shut. You know, and the daughter of this mom who's being harassed, you know, all of a sudden the queen bee's daughter is kind of doing it to her. Mm-hmm. You know, and she finally, you know, because she doesn't really know what's going on with her mom. And her mom tries to commit suicide because she'd rather not live at all with this burden and not put it on her husband and her daughter.
Right.
So the daughter's like, I can't, you know, she wanted to know what was going on because she really didn't know. And she had I, who is, you know, the hell girl, show her what was going on. So, you know, she gives her the black doll and she decides that she is going to take this revenge because, I mean, her mom was very bubbly in the beginning of this episode, but by the end of it, I mean, her mom was pretty much just like this hollow, shallow, you know, vessel
with like
of her former self. And I mean, it was tormenting to watch, you know. So, you know, the girl pulls the string and, you know, she, and they all get these little marks that kind of look like eyes, mm-hmm. like right in the center of their chest. Like, right, you know, for girls, it's right near that little cleavage area. Mm-hmm. So it's low enough that... So
the top of the pops, if you will. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and so far, there's only been one guy who... actually, his story was really good, too, because his best friend got murdered by, like, the most popular kid in school.
Okay.
So that one was compelling, too, but all the other ones have been really stupid. Oh, this veterinarian didn't take care of my dog, and he could have saved her, but he was too busy wanting to play golf.
I mean, that's just stupid, though. I mean, if you're talking about revenge, you got to be talking about things that are catastrophic to really go after revenge.
I mean, somebody, like I said, some of them are really stupid, but then some of them, you know, hold a lot more merit.
Somebody scuffing your puma is not a reason to send their soul to hell.
And then you go there yourself.
And then go there yourself is the payment.
I was going to say, is it terrible that I would have no problem with the sending them to hell thing if it didn't involve me?
No,
I'm like those revenges aren't worth me going to hell. You know, the fact that they would have to go to hell doesn't even enter into it.
Like, I think that's one of the things that this anime wants to point out is because at first when, you know, they all put their names in and they get the dolls, they're ready to pull the string. But then when she's like, you know, I should probably tell you this, but when you die, if you do this, I'm going to have your soul, too. You know, and then they're all like, what? And like, they all have this giant moral epiphany where they're like, hell? And, you know, and then all of a sudden in their mind, you know, you see their personal hells.
Yeah.
You know, so like, and each of them seem to be different. So, I mean, like, this series actually has
that hell personal now, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's like your own personal hell. Oh. But I mean, this anime is totally, you know, in terms of story. Now, mind you, I've only watched like halfway through the second volume. And I know after episode 8, I'm going to start seeing recurring characters. I'm predicting, however, that, you know, since each one of these episodes seems to be a separate story of people who have chosen to do it. And I figure there will probably be a couple of episodes where someone will summon her and will have the doll and will choose to not.
Yeah.
And
it's going to happen sooner or later.
Yeah, someone's going to. And I tend to want to say that I, you know, because at first when you meet I, you know, she, you know, she just does this job. You know, like there's really no emotion to her. You know, and at one point in one of the episodes, this one girl is being terrorized by her adoptive mom, who only adopted her because she was like a computer whiz, and she built this big business because of this girl's computer savviness, but treated her like shit.
Mommy dearest.
Yeah. More or less. No wire hangers. I said no 00101011. Like, you know, I'm jazzing that up.
But, no uncompiled data. No uncompiled data ever.
But you know, and at one point, like, I didn't want, because I'm this billionaire-ess lady is trying to lure I out so that she can, like, get the scoop on her. But unless you really have a revenge really planned out, if you put anyone's name in, like, sometimes it doesn't work because I's really smart. But there's a couple of times in the few episodes that I've seen that it just doesn't seem like she wants to do it. You know, and it's really funny because, I mean, it's very paced out. It's a very easygoing anime. Like, there's action going on, but it's not like, you know,
most of it's drama as they explain the story of each person.
It's very detailed.
So it's more exposition than terror.
I mean, now granted, when you know, the pact has been made and they pull the string and I goes to ferry them, she has these three minions, I tend to call them, even though they look human.
They're always tormentors.
Yeah,
I like them.
They pretty much torment the fuck out of you. Up until the point, like, they give you a chance to confess what you've been doing before I takes you to hell. And so far, no one has ever admitted to what they've done, you know, and they go through whatever torment that they put the other person in. And then I pretty much, you know, she's wearing this beautiful black kimono that's got these swirling flowers on it. If you've ever seen the opening to when the cicadas cry, which is an anime that I've talked about before as the happy slasher, the very happy moe slasher, if you see the opening of that, some of the flowers in the opening scene, like, I thought they were very pretty, but when I showed it in my anime club, a couple of my friends were like, those flowers are kind of disturbing. Like, the flowers on her kimono are kind of in the same way, but they're a little more elegant, but they're kind of like creepy flowers, creepy like hell flowers, you know, and she just ferries them to hell. So, I mean, there's no blood, there's no... You know, they could have really.
It's all very much psychological.
Yeah, like it's a little more sophisticated, in a sense. So, I mean, did I get different? Yeah. Do I like it? I do, and then I don't. Like, I'm waiting. Like, usually, you know, you get through the description and the exposition in the first volume, but. I haven't seen that shift yet, and I'm already in the second. So I think it's going to be one of those things where it's going to be drawn out a lot more.
Well, I mean, it just sounds to me like the entire series is all exposition, and it's exposition.
It doesn't give you much information. The way, I don't know if the anime works the same way, but the way it works is your main character is the one you see the least. You don't see Ai very often.
Yeah.
It focuses on the people... who are getting revenge, and it tells their story. Mm-hmm. So her story is the thread between all these other stories, but you really don't find much information about her out.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope it develops into the point where you do start learning things about her.
Well, I've been digging around a little bit, and there is a third season. So I think... In the mid of the second season into the third season, I think they're going to start addressing Ai's situation. Because in one of the episodes, you know, like I said, she's kind of hesitant about going. And her grandmother, who, A, you never really see. You see her silhouette, and she's always playing with this spinning wheel. You know, and the grandmother's kind of like, it seems like you don't want to go, but you have to go. So it's like... well, why do you have to go? Are you trapped? Do you owe a debt somewhere? Like, is this your debt? But, you know, like Magic said, they really don't tell you.
Yeah. So, It's probably that's her personal hell.
That's her personal hell, maybe. I don't know. So semi-spoiler, I guess, because you can check on Wiki and it won't tell you. I've been trying to find spoilers for it. Not that I want to spoil this for myself, but I just kind of wanted to have a better understanding of this. But it's definitely different.
No, you definitely want a spoiler, because you're one of those people that when you've seen a movie and somebody else hasn't, you always go, okay, I'm not going to spoil it for you, but this is how it ends.
That's not true. Not true.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's
okay, I'm not going to tell you too much, but there are these, like, five guys. Well, the movie's called The Four Things. I know, but there's a fifth guy. Well, fuck shit.
I have never done that. Anyway, wait, all right. I did fuck up The Prestige for somebody.
It was me.
See, I can't tell The Prestige and The Illusionist apart anymore. I can't remember which one's which.
Christian Bale?
Okay, wait.
Prestige, which one had
David Bowie as Tesla?
Tesla! All right. Prestige, Scarlett Johansson, Christian Bale. The Illusionist?
Okay. Wait.
Edward Norton. Jessica Biel.
Okay. Okay. I'm not going to remember that 5 minutes from now, but okay.
Okay. Ready?
Because I saw them within like 3 days of each other, and now it's
okay.
Just
let me make it easier for you. Prestige had Hugh Jackman that was Wolverine.
Yeah, no,
Wolverine
I know that.
Wolverine was not in The Illusionist. That's how
Wolverine
I can
is.
Wolverine okay. Was not in The Illusionist, but the Hulk was.
But the Hulk was.
See? That should help you.
Believe it or not,
that's
like
going to confuse me even more.
Stepping out of my topic, which one of those movies did you guys like better? Because I personally like The Prestige better.
I like The Illusionist better.
Really?
Yeah, I figured out The Prestige within the first 30 minutes.
Oh, well.
And then I was bored.
Wolverine was not in The Illusionist. I liked, I don't know, the one with the hats.
That would be the Prestige. The one with the hats. Remember when Tesla was testing the machine? They had all the hats.
Oh, with the cat.
All the hats because they kept duplicating. What's his face's hat, and then the cats.
Yeah. Meow. No kidding. Right.
I knew what was going to happen. The opening, I was like, "What the fuck are all those hats about? Why are we in the woods?" And the next time you see the woods, I'm like, "Oh shit! I know what's going on there." Which means I now know what's about to happen.
All right, then maybe you can answer this question because I'm still puzzled about this in The Prestige.
Okay.
Which one of the brothers gets killed?
Okay.
Which one gets, because I want to know.
The angry one. The one that was in love with the quote-unquote mistress.
Oh, okay. So he sacrificed himself so that his brother could be with his daughter.
With his daughter.
That's what I thought, but, a couple times I'm like, which one are you?
Yeah, no, that's what happened.
Okay. All right, then. Because was he the one who killed Hugh Jackman's wife because he tied the wrong knot?
Yes. The angry brother tied the wrong knot, which is why when they went to, when he went to the service and Hugh Jackman
he
asked
him
which
he's like,
knot,
I don't know.
He's like, I truly do not know because he wasn't the one to tie the knot.
Oh, okay.
And he couldn't tell him that because that would break his whole...
His prestige.
That would vindicate his prestige.
All right. I wasn't sure, so I'm like, well, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah. I remember I liked them both, though. I just liked one slightly
more
than the other.
Yeah, I liked The Illusionist better just because it took me a little bit longer to figure it out, and it had Paul Giamatti.
Yeah.
I know. And Edward Norton. I love Edward.
Ed Norton I like, but Paul Giamatti... There's not a thing that he's in that I didn't love. And if you haven't seen American Splendor, then you should slap yourself in.
I loved American Splendor.
Have you seen Shoot 'Em Up?
I've not seen Shoot 'Em Up.
I have not.
Oh, that'd be so funny.
I have not. It's on the list.
So.
Anyway. Well, it sounds interesting. I will probably check out Helga just in the manga form. Just because, one, I want to do more manga. Because I haven't been reading it as much. But... I need something a little ethereal. I don't like just, silly mangas, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Like, just the fun time, happy thing. Like, Ranma. I can't read Ranma as a manga, and I can barely get through it as an anime. So just
I only managed like a season and a half of Ranma.
Yeah. It's just like the silly, silly, sweet Supergirl. Oh my god, it's so hard being a teenager. I cannot deal with as a manga, but something like a Trinity Blood or, something like Hellgirl, I think I could. Because there'd be enough plot there, not just drawings of scantily clad.
Oh no, there's no one. There's really no one so far in this that I've watched that's been like, they're all very realistic looking.
Cool.
In this, but my rating for this, I'm going to give it a 3 out of 5, only because, one, it's inspiring because the storytelling is completely different. It actually, in terms of storytelling, it kind of reminds me of Pet Shop of Horrors, because you really don't pay much attention to the main character until later on in the manga. Like, Count D's always kind of like, here, have this goldfish. But it looks like a girl. Well, to you it does. And then, you know,
it's very much, you don't know the character, but you know the effect that the character has on other people.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's very alluring. It's very mysterious, which I like. And I'm only giving it 3 because I want to see how far this will go, because I'm already plotting out what I think may happen. And I'd love to see them go, no, that's not what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. Do you like it? And then I'll find out. But I'm going to take the mic of 1,000 truths and I'm going to use my panda hovering power, and I'm going to hover it in front of Magic Mystic Girl. What are you going to do with the hovering microphone?
You hold it there just to see how long it takes you to drop it. What I'm going to talk about is the Incredible Hulk movie.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh.
So
the
more
new
Edward.
One, not the new
now that
one.
Now that we've already been talking about Edward Norton for a while.
Hey, it fits.
Now, see, this is funny. Last week it was Indiana Jones sucks. This week it's Hulk.
All right, what do you
is it a hit?
Do you think I hated it, or do you think I liked it?
I don't know. You don't sound very angry, so I think you might have liked it.
I think you might have been middle of the road with it. I don't think that you were either impressed and or completely disgusted with it.
Or you were completely indifferent.
That's what I just said!
Oh.
No, because yours had emotion. I felt about the movie, but I wasn't sure what I felt. Hers was I didn't feel anything at all about the movie.
Okay, and?
And I'm kind of in the I don't know what I feel about the movie.
Because
I have never really liked the Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't impressive enough like Iron Man was. I was like, yeah, I don't like Iron Man. But that movie's fucking awesome!
Right?
This was, yeah, I don't really like the Hulk. But the movie was okay. So basically, Edward Norton is an amazing Hulk for being a Hulk, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
he does the I'm on the run thing really well. He's not particularly mousy and like intelligent kind of nerdy kind of Banner.
Yeah.
He's
That makes me not happy then, because Bruce Banner should be kind of nerdy.
He's definitely better than the first guy was in the first
Eric
movie.
Eric
Thank
Banner.
God.
This movie is so much better than that. And, you know, I think the whole he found his big green Tyler Durden, and it works for some reason.
Okay.
His name was Robert Paulson.
What?
No, his Tyler name was Robert Paulson.
Fight Club.
I know. His name was Robert Paulson.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. It's the guy who dies and, like, they take off his black mask and it's like his name was Robert Paulson and they all start chanting it. And Edward's like, what the fuck?
Are you talking about Fight Club again?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. Thank you.
Oh, so you know what? You need to get out of that fucking under that rock and go see that movie. Fuck, I will buy you that movie for my birthday.
Ding! I think I'm going to count every time you say or make a mention of your birthday between now and your birthday.
That's the first one.
Yep, that's one.
All right, let's see. Tim Roth was really good, actually. He did the I'm wicked obsessed with the Hulk thing very well.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have never noticed how goddamn short he is, because when he's standing next to William Hurt and, you know, they're injecting him with all sorts of odd things and the super serum and stuff. By the way, huge reference to Captain America, because they're using the super serum on Tim Roth mm-hmm. when they're trying to take down the Hulk. That man is tiny.
Yeah, Well,
tiny little person.
Thing is, Tim Roth, not very big in stature. Also, William Hurt, actually kind of big in stature. So literally, you kind of, yeah, he's a big dude. He's tall. He's a tall dude. So it just kind of even more so dwarfs poor little Tim Roth by being next to William Hurt, who I think he himself could probably have been the Hulk without a whole lot of CGI.
That's actually a fun image, thinking about that. Yeah. Anyways, so there's really not much to tell about the plot. Hulk smash, Hulk run around, things blow up.
Maybe if I can control it, I can use it for good.
That's what they all tell you after a couple of drinks. Don't believe it.
Surprisingly, Liv Tyler sucked. I don't know why I thought she was a good actor, but she's not.
I don't know why.
The entire time, I remember loving Armageddon, and that was pretty much where I had this.
Did she actually speak in that movie?
What? Was she actually in that movie? Is that what you just asked?
Did she actually speak in that movie?
I think there was one scene where she yelled at Bruce Willis on behalf of Ben Affleck. Maybe. Oh. And then there was the "Oh, Daddy, don't die" scene over the video.
It's like he's in space. He's sacrificing himself for the rest of the planet. I think we should let him go.
Yeah, really. But anyways, she was terrible. God, was she terrible. The way she talks, it sounds like she's gasping for breath the whole time. I can't even imitate it because I was watching her lips move and was like, how is that sort of a noise coming out of her mouth? And she only has one facial expression, which is like pouty lips staring straight ahead, you know.
Her father is David Tyler.
Not really. Said.
Yeah, I guess so. She hurt the movie more than she helped it. But yeah, what else do I want to say? It's not as funny a movie as Iron Man. It's got some laughs in it, but it's mostly let's see how much stuff we can blow up and destroy. Which is okay, I guess, because that's what the Hulk was about. But the way the movie theater did it, they... Hmm?
The Hulk was about redemption.
Yeah, right.
It was. The comic was.
Redemption, my black ass. Sorry, that's what she said.
So, you know, for the first part of the film, he's on the run, and then, you know, they fuck up because they're trying to catch him so much that they create the abomination, and then he's like, I'll help, and blah, blah, blah. There are a lot of Easter eggs. Like I said, the Super Serum is a reference to Captain America. Tony Stark does show up. What I was told was that the press conference where he announces that he's not making any more weapons was going to be like running on a TV in the background or something. That's not true. He actually comes and interacts with the characters, but it's not anything more exciting than what Nick Fury did in the first one. In Iron Man.
Yeah.
Not in the first one. Yeah. Well, I kind of consider this one like a sequel to Iron Man because they're all going to come together and make the
Justice League.
Yeah, the Avengers.
Yeah, Avengers.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh.
Justice League, DC. Justice League is DC.
Sorry.
Yeah. Your geek.
Although, we'll have to see, you know, when the Dark Knight comes out, maybe they'll start hinting about a Justice League movie, if you're lucky.
Ooh.
Yeah, but, I mean, now they've really got to rethink Justice League because...
Go Teen Titans! That'd be kind of cool.
No, I do not want... Look, I don't want to hear any more Hi Puffy AmiYumi for a while. Okay? All right? They just finally stopped with that.
I can't see it all.
Stop it.
Teen Titans!
No, what's worse is I had a friend of mine that every time I watched that...
That whole song.
Okay? He would actually sing... Tight teenies instead of Teen Titans. I'm like, dude, that's so wrong. That's so wrong. Don't do that. He's like, I'm just saying, tight teenies, go! I was like, please, please stop. Okay, you're taking this hilarious to a very weird place for me, and I don't want to go there right now.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, so I'm not going to walk you through all the
thank God, because I haven't seen
cameos
it
and stuff, and I'm not going to walk you through the movie. It's much better than the first one, but I don't know if it's because I don't like the Hulk or what. I still didn't like it much. Okay. I mean, it was okay. I don't want my money back or anything, but
would you?
I'm not gonna go out and buy it. I'm probably not gonna go see it again.
Right. Probably would have felt better if you'd watched it on cable for free.
No. Okay. Not even that bad.
Okay.
You know, maybe in a few weeks when I forget that I'm not a huge fan of it, I'll go back and watch it. But the on the run scenes were a little excessive.
Okay.
There's this really, really, really long scene when he's just running through Brazil. Uh-huh. And, I mean, I can understand why it was a longer scene, because he's got this heart monitor watch that starts beeping more and more, louder and louder, as his heart rate goes up. Because, you know, obviously he hits a high heart rate and he's going to change. So I can understand, like, that was a building tension kind of thing, but it was overdone,
gotcha.
I want to say. And, mm-hmm. you know, there are these gangsters, Brazilian gangsters, that just were totally unnecessary. And this this hint of a romance with this woman he's working with in Brazil. And it just, a lot of that was just very unnecessary.
Gotcha.
So for the first like half of the movie, I felt like, oh my God, this movie is going to be really, really long, you know? And then the part that seemed much more relevant to me was crammed into the last like half hour.
Okay.
So I don't know. If you like the Hulk, I recommend it. I mean, it's worth seeing once, even if you never watch it again.
Okay.
So,
but on a big screen,
I'm not a huge
definitely
fan.
Definitely on a big screen. Worth going to see, or should people wait?
You know, if you like explosions and giant green monsters, then yeah, I guess it's worth seeing on the big screen. Depends how much you're willing to shell out.
If you're a fan of big green things and things blowing up, have we got
Goosey and it's green? Ew.
Yep. If you're a fan of Gojira, then go watch it.
Okay. Alrighty.
All right, so I'm gonna waft the still hovering, excuse me, still levitating Mike of a Thousand Truths.
Why can't we say hovering? It sounds
because
cool.
Hovering is not a fun word. Levitating is an awesome word.
Yeah.
How about? Oh, fine. You guys win. Oh, majority fine. Vote.
What are you gonna say?
Never mind. It doesn't matter.
She was gonna say something that she knew that somebody was gonna say something smart to.
Yeah. So I retracted.
She retracted her thought.
I pre-retracted.
All right,
that
so Ninja,
dirty.
What are you going to do with the hovering Mike of a Thousand Truths?
I'm going to take it and kind of talk about a few different things here.
A smorgasbord, if you would.
A smorgasbord of topics in a few minutes. Can I do it? Let's find out.
Pirate buffet.
Yes.
And now for something completely different.
Oh, please don't sue. So there's a lot of things that have been kind of roaming around this past week about gaming, the industry itself, back and forth. So I'm going to talk a little bit about a few bits and bobbles that I've kind of picked up on, and I just really haven't had the time to actually comment on the site about. So the first thing that I want to talk about is the Grand Theft Auto. We've kind of talked about it before.
Oh, really? Topic.
Like, a little bit, but what,
A few minutes here and there.
Right, yeah. But what I really wanted to focus on this one is there was actually a piece that was written, on the New York Times by, Matt Richel, basically talking about how the game's been doing a lot as far as multiplayer and flying off the shelves and, you know, being touted as one of the better, if not best, GTA titles that are out there, and the people that play it love it, but one thing that they've seen is that it really hasn't pushed the sales of the console itself, which they were kind of hoping to have happen. You know, Halo has been on the Xbox a console maker, if you will. It's been kind of the thing, the application, you know, the killer app that's made people who didn't already own a console or I should say that console, actually go out and buy it. And I know that Microsoft, as well as Rockstar, was kind of hoping that this GTA would have that kind of effect, especially with all of the hype that surrounded it, with all the things that were going to go on in the game, and all the negative publicity that came out about the game surrounding Jack Thompson. I know that they had really thought that it was going to be a little bit of a bump for them, but the MPD group, which tracks video game industry sales, actually released a report, I want to say last Thursday, that GTA was definitely the top-selling game with, like, over 850,000 units for the Xbox sold, on like, close to 450,000 for the PlayStation 3 copy, which I was like, damn, there's that many people with PS3s? Ba-dum-bum-tsh. The thing that kills me is that the hardware sales are actually down. Not just for Microsoft, but also for the PS3 right now. And it really just kind of strikes me as really interesting in that, you know, here we are in the summer blockbuster months, both for video games and for movies. And the video games are definitely very prevalent going into summer. You know, we've had Ninja Gaiden 2, we've got GTA 4, you've got Wii Fit, we've got a lot of blockbuster titles dropping this summer, and you would imagine that that would also prompt more sales, and the fact of the matter is, it's not. There's nothing right now that is pushing console sales, except for a couple of games on the Wii, and that's just because the Wii is still very difficult to find. So I think it's really interesting that even though the industry is so huge, they're really starting to struggle right now on coming up with a kingmaker for console sales.
Yeah.
Which, if you're a company like Microsoft and like Sony, you only earn so much off of software licenses. Really, where your bread and butter is on the hardware that you create. And if you're not getting people to buy your hardware, then something's going wrong. And I think what tacks into that, really in my mind, is what's going on with E3. I will not lie. I was very, very, very disappointed that we did not get invited to E3 this year. Especially because it was really weird. We got to save the date for Nintendo's press conference. Not so much with the invite. Kind of a little confusing there. But the reason why I see these kind of tacking into each other is because the ESA has made it so difficult for entities like us and all games and, you know, bloggers that are out there that are not just, hey, I've got a blog talking about video games, but have definitely been dyed in the wool through and through, actually dedicated to this stuff. The fact that they've made it, you know, nearly impossible for us to attend the event, I think is really hurting the industry on a whole. You know, it's like
it's like they're just getting rid of really good routes to PR.
Well, to PR and ultimately to the market that they're making product for. Okay.
Although at the same time, we are wild cards. We are very willing to say I fucking hated it.
Yes.
And we are not in their pocket. We are not.
I could be. For the right price.
See? Pandalicious.
We're not on the payroll. They can't influence what we say.
I am not a whore.
Effort into making a decent game.
True. Which, you know, some developers really like and some developers really don't. But it was really interesting to me because I had been dogging different PR firms for the past, really, 2 months on what the process was to get invited to E3 this year, because I knew the process had changed from last year, which it was only by the grace of gamer gods that we were actually able to go and to cover it last year and to see the things that we saw. But even then, there were very few, like I commented on and wrote about, of us at E3. It was a lot of mainstream media, and I think that kind of what was missing was, because there wasn't a lot of us, as announcements were made and things were being demoed and showed off, there was no excitement. Okay, when I was sitting...
It was the clinical, I'm, you know, I'm a paid professional who's not really into this, but I need to write about it kind
exactly.
of thing.
Exactly. So when is it coming out? What's the manufacturer's retail price? What platforms will it be on? Okay, great. Where can I get some press kits for high-res images? Fantastic. Okay.
Yeah, whereas we'd be like, is it fun?
Can I play it? Can I touch it?
Is the environment fully destructible?
Yes. Can I pick up a car and just throw it at somebody?
Is there any hot coffee? I would like to know.
I don't want warm coffee. I want hot coffee. Can I have hot coffee? Can I take the warm coffee and put it in the microwave? These are things that my readership wants to know. But it's true.
A little side note on that. You know, I figured in GTA, like, the more that you slept with Michelle, the sexier she'd get.
No.
But she doesn't.
No.
It sucks. I was like, warm coffee. I'm like, fuck, I want some hot coffee, bitch.
Yep.
But I'd never got it.
No, that's why you gotta go and you gotta get a whore. If you go down to the docks and pick up a whore, then you can turn the camera around and watch her suck or fuck you.
Yeah.
Then
wait,
when
she suckles you?
You can get it. Yeah, you can get a BJ.
She sucks your peepee.
Yes.
Shut up.
For $20 bucks, you can get a hand job. For $50, you can get a blow job. For $70, you can get, you know.
Oh my god.
Cowgirl. Yeah, you need to step up and play out a little bit more for your whores. And then you can watch yourself get a BJ. And then literally Nico will sit back and be like, oh, I'm so glad my mom cannot see me doing this.
I think that would almost be more amusing than just watching.
Yeah, and it's so funny. I'm so glad my mother cannot see me now. Like, he sounds like he regrets what he's doing. But he's still letting her go.
I'm too scared to holler at some hookers.
No, go pick up a hooker. But here's the funny thing about it. Don't stay, like, if there are two hookers on a block, don't stay there too long with a good car, because they will try to jack you every once in a while for your car.
For real?
Yeah, they'll punch you in the face and be like, I need this car! And then you have to chase them up to the light and get back in the car and be like, pat! And pop a cap in the bitch and be like, get the fuck out of my car, bitch. Anyway, but... there really was a lack of enthusiasm. Like, when I was sitting during Microsoft's keynote last year, and they were rolling the trailer for Halo 3, those of us that were us in the audience after it ran were like, yes! Hell to the yeah, to the yeah! And then there was, like, a little pocket of us. And what I found really interesting is that we were all kind of in one area on the back bleachers, where all the cool kids go, anyway. And the entire rest of the audience was just like, okay, it's a trailer. And then taking some notes and leaving before the thing ended. And I'm really afraid that that's going to happen with this year's event, because it's even more restricted than it was last year. And I really think, like, the industry is trending the wrong way when you're talking about...
Yeah, they're phasing out the wrong people.
Okay, I mean, I can understand wanting to not have people like Best Buy, or to have companies that do third-party peripherals that are trying to sell those peripherals on the show floor. I absolutely get that and agree with that. That should not be the element at E3.
E3 is not supposed to be, like, a vendor's show. It's not supposed to be, like, the... producers and the people who are going to sell it.
No. What to me it always has been is, okay, here are the developers, here are the distributors, here's our product. We're going to give you some quick hands-on demos of it, some snapshots of it. You can take a look at it, play it, feel it, touch it, and let's get some buzz going on about this so that people are excited when the fall comes around. And now that's not happening. You know, you've got sites like Destructoid and Kotaku, which are amazing, and I'm sure that they were able to go to E3 and are going to do some great coverage. But the fact of the matter is, there should be more than just Destructoid and Kotaku as far as from this side taking a look at it. Basically, what happened was mainstream media got so pissed that they had to wait in lines for interviews with developers behind the likes of us, and more importantly, the likes of just general press that were willing to cough up $120 for a day pass to get in to try these demos and go home and be able to talk about it. that they were going to not go anymore, which meant the ESA wouldn't be able to charge as much dues as they can from the likes of Activision and Vivendi and Microsoft and things like that. So then Microsoft and Nintendo basically threatened to walk on the event, and so did Sony. So they revamped it so that the likes of the hoi polloi could not get in. And I get that, you know, not wanting to, if you're a writer from the New York Times, having to stand in line for 45 minutes to an hour behind, you know, somebody who got in a line to ask the developer, okay, so when you were designing this character, did you really want to make her boobs that big, or did you think you could go bigger? Yeah, I can understand why that you would be standing there going, oh my god, fuck my life, fuck my job. But the fact of the matter is that E3 is supposed to be a media blitz. It's supposed to be the place where all the buzz is made about the games and the systems that are coming out and what games are coming out on what systems. And there's nobody that gets more passionate about this stuff than the actual gamers. Okay, the fact that now I'm going to have to wait to find out about stuff. And there's going to be a whole lot of things that are probably going to fall through the cracks because the mainstream media is only going to focus on the stuff that there's already PR on because that's what they've been told to cover. So you're going to have a whole lot of coverage from mainstay media that is
attending.
People
just don't fucking care.
Who don't care. And so you're going to hear a lot about Home, which is still vaporware. You're going to hear a lot about Little Big Planet, which I think is an amazing game, and it's getting close to being done, and it should definitely be something that people hear about. But it's nothing that we haven't been hearing about from last year because only a few of us have had access to materials to talk about this stuff with people. Yeah. You know, I'm going to now be finding out about games from All Games and Kotaku and Joystick. And don't get me wrong, I love those guys, but they cover stuff differently than I would cover stuff. And their interests don't necessarily line up with my interests, or your interests, or Panda's interests. And I think that we're just going to end up seeing the same games get pubbed, just like, you know, when you turn on the radio and you hear the same song 15 times, you're going to see the same review 15 times.
Game burnout.
Exactly. And I think that it's the wrong thing to happen. And I really think that it's part of what's feeding into the consoles not doing what they're supposed to. Because it's really different for me when I, you know, read a review of a game in Variety and I hear it from, like, Nero over at Destructoid. I'm going to align and take what he says a whole lot more to heart than what Variety says about video games.
Yeah, because it's like, whenever I see something like that, I'm like, nice effort, but I don't believe a word of what you're saying because you obviously have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay. I mean, even with, you know, when I go out to things like CES and things like that, I love Engadget. I love those people. I would love to meet up with them on some event just to kind of pick their brains. But at the same time, you know, it's a lot of big gadgets and big brand name gadgets that get covered. And that's great, but, you know, there are the little guys that make, you know, the $20 little gadget that is looks like a junky piece of plastic, but they're really passionate about it. I like talking to them and finding out where their passion lies. I guess I kind of root for the underdog. And I think that the gamer and the underdog is being left behind here.
Wait, you like the little people?
Don't you fucking start with me. Yes! Yes, I do. Because I don't think that they get, you know, they don't have the Sonys behind them with the marketing money and department to do a media blitz for them. And unfortunately, what it's going to lead to is I really see, and you can kind of see it happening already with Activision and Vivendi dropping out of the ESA, and so they're not going to be at E3 and are not participating, having their own small events throughout the year and inviting their select members of the press to that. So you're really going to start seeing, I think, over the next couple of months, a real, I think, letdown in coverage of what's coming out and from where. Because we don't have the ability to fly to, you know, the Capcom event. We don't have the ability to go to all these different developers' little events throughout the year because, honestly, we don't have a budget like that. I know that the New York Times and the Washington Post can send people, but even one of the writers over at the Post was talking about, you know, how ridiculously difficult it's gotten for people to get ESA credentials, and even for them, it took them a while to get all of their stuff straight because the ESA is really kind of fledgling around with how it all is supposed to work and what check-in is supposed to be like and things like that. And it's a shame because he said ultimately, you know, he's been going to E3 for years. This year, decided not going to go even after he got the credential.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just like, see, that right there is very telling. When even mainstream media is now going, you know what, you guys have kind of made it a little lame and it's a little difficult. And I'm not going to be there and not going to go. You've got a problem.
Yeah.
You got a big problem.
They basically
A little big problem.
Yes. Yes. Something like that. Because, I mean, I really love going to events and getting to meet the brain children, the creators behind some of these really, really, I think, heavily creatively inspired games and stories and plot lines and find out what their passion was. Even if it's a game that I don't really enjoy, I like meeting those people that are behind it, because when you see that passion come through somebody, you can't help but get excited about it.
I know, I'm getting excited right now just talking about it.
I mean, even if it's a bad game or one that I don't enjoy. Like, when I was out there, I'm not good at first-person shooters. I'm just not. But in sitting down and talking with the guys...
Wait, did you just say suitors or shooters?
Shooters.
Because dating sims are completely different.
Yes. I don't enjoy first-person shooters, mostly because I'm really, really awful at them. But when I sat down...
I like them better than dating sims.
Well, see, yeah. I've never really played a dating sim. I've only
They're
seen
fun.
Them.
But, I've never played a dating sim.
I've never played a dating sim.
Oh.
I've seen
I have.
Them, but I've never actually played one.
They're I have.
Incredibly boring.
Yeah, they are.
But when I sat down with the guys that make
and
Crysis...
they're frustrating, too. Why won't she kiss me? I gave her presents and took her out to dinner.
Bitch, they put out, bitch!
Seriously.
That's
Sorry.
What I'm saying.
Back on topic.
When I sat down with the guys from Crysis, I got really excited about the game. Now, I don't like horror games. I don't like shoot 'em ups. I'm not good at them. But in talking to them about all the time that they put into and what they really wanted to get out of the game and what they really wanted to deliver to their gamers, it was infectious and made me write about the game and want to follow the game. I didn't end up buying the game, but I was interested in how it did in the industry. And it's because of that that I was interested in it. If I hadn't met those guys, I would not have any kind of thought about Crysis at all. Just reading about them from someplace else. So I really think that the ESA has really screwed themselves on this one. And more importantly, they've kind of screwed the gaming community a little bit. Because what's going to happen is you're going to have a very biased and very similar take on whatever it is that's unveiled, shown off, at E3 than anything else. And it's really disappointing and a little sad, because part of the reason why I started this site and this podcast was because I wanted to go to E3. Every gamer on the planet wanted to go to E3. You'd see it on what was then Tech TV, or if you were on the G4 website, and you'd see all these people standing in lines. And I used to dog the Sony site to see demos and video from the floor of what people were going and what was interesting and what people were standing in line for in order to play just a 5-minute demo. And that was so cool to me and so inspiring. You know, I used to have conversations all the time with Panda. Oh, we've got to go to E3. And we would plan out how we were going to get our mom to actually let us go to L.A.
You planned out how we were going to get mom to...
You just kept nodding your head, so we did it. It never
worked. That was the kind of sidekick phenomenon going on.
Yeah, it's like, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah, mom's going to let us go to L.A.
Yeah.
You know how much mom loves to fight? No, yeah, sure. Yeah, but...
Mm-hmm.
And I always had that enthusiasm all the way through high school, through college. I was going to go to E3, and it was going to be amazing.
Through college?
I did a year of college. You know what? You don't have to put all my business out on the internet, you know. Sometimes Sorry. You can just shut the fuck up.
Okay, fine.
But I wanted so desperately to go to E3 because for me it was kind of that vision of the gaming community. It's where we all came together and could share our excitement and passion and rants about
the new stuff. We could meet our brethren.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what it was, and now that gathering's been taken away.
No more parties for the geekies.
So I really think that this year is going to be very telling if there will be an E3 next year. I've seen the floor plans, and things are definitely smaller than previous E3 events. Everything is in one place this year, as opposed to being all over the Venice and Santa Monica area last year, which I think is definitely better, because that jumping around from place to place to place to place to place to place to place was kind of crazy. But
Did they go from place to place to place to place to place?
Yeah, basically what happened was they had all the different developers basically just took up suites and sometimes conference rooms in various hotels near each other. So, and then they had shuttles that would run between most of them, but not all of them. And they were all spread out between Venice and Santa Monica. So literally you could set up an appointment to meet with somebody and take a shuttle down one place and then have to walk four blocks to the next one and then turn back around and walk three blocks down and two blocks over to hit the other one because they were at this hotel and then go into this hotel,
that
which was
kind of cool, but at the same time, it also sounds like it'd be really freaking irritating.
It was very irritating. Not so much to me, because I was just there by myself, so it was just me and my laptop and my little pocket camera, but it was definitely something that pissed off people that had entire video crews, because they had to get to a venue, unpack all of their stuff, set up, do the interview, pack up all their stuff, get onto a shuttle, or get their car out of parking garage, get back in and packed up, get to the next venue that may have only been, you know, five blocks away, but that's too much to lug all of that equipment, so they'd have to get the car. I actually bumped into this one guy that I can't remember where he was working, but he was having a cigarette after and waiting for a car to come pick him up to put all this video equipment in. And I asked him how his day was going, and he looked me in the face and said, "This is the last fucking event I'm ever going to do."
Wow.
Like this. And I was like, really? He goes, "I can't tell you how many times I've unpacked and packed the car today for this material just to get a 10-minute interview." He goes, "This is ridiculous. I don't understand why we're all spread out." And I was like, wow. You know, wow. So I mean, I don't know. I really kind of feel like it's for all the thoughts of community with, you know, the Xbox Live and the PlayStation Network and all these things that seem to be built on building the gamer community and bringing the gaming community together. It just seems to me like this is the one thing that used to do it, and now it's just dying. And it's dying a slow and painful death. And it makes me sad that I also wasn't invited. Not gonna lie, I'm disappointed in that. But I really think that it's a mistake to not have at least a few of the little guys there. Because when you demo something like a Metal Gear video, when it's over, you want to hear everybody flipping their shit and not just a, "All right, that's great."
Okay. Oh, yeah, the golf clap.
You know, like,
oh,
like you just golf showed them clap. A PowerPoint presentation and you're like, "Okay." We're like, "Woohoo, bar graphs are awesome." So anyway, that's my rant. Don't get me wrong, I love bar graphs, okay? When they show me visually that I've got more money in the bank than I thought I did, I fucking heart them. But
I love PowerPoint. PowerPoint's a fun but it's really nice.
I like playing with the sounds.
Okay. But what you guys definitely need to do is keep hitting us up on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com. And you can catch episodes of our podcast there. We have a podcast player actually on the site. Or you can subscribe to our podcast in iTunes or your favorite RSS reader by simply grabbing the feed and dropping it into your application. You can also use the Hit Us Up link to contact us directly. Float us a comment, a question, a tip. We also have our 1-800 number, which is a toll-free number. So that's 1-888.
It's a toll-free number.
It's 1-888-333-8985. It's also listed on the website. We do love hearing from you guys directly. So if you got something that takes a little bit longer to get said, why not say it in real audio? We might just feature it on the website. You can also check out what we're writing and what we're thinking about on the website and comment to it. Most of the time we actually comment back. We've been a little lax on that, so we're going to get better at it. You can use the short address to check out our website, which is
ESH.mobi. That's ESH.mobi. And you already said all the rest of the spiel.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm trying to make it all nice and tidy. But you can also catch our show on the All Games Radio Network. It airs on Monday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. So definitely check our show as well as some of the other shows out over at allgames.com. You can listen to
Dead Pixel Live is one of my personal favorites. And the Bobby Black Wolf Show.
Yeah, Bobby Black Wolf Show is awesome. I'm a big fan of All Games Interactive and Super Happy Fun Time Show. So there are a lot of great, great shows for you to listen to over there as well. And you may just see Ninja or Panda or even Magic actually bouncing around in the forums there. So say hi to us.
I'm in the forums and I'm in the chat, though right now they're dealing with some hacksaws.
Panda is in your internets talking to your peeps.
Never mind.
Yeah.
Oh, exactly.
Don't go there.
I stopped.
Good.
I stopped.
Good. So, with all of that said and my rant being over, I think we're going to have to call this podcast toast.
Yeah.
Toast day.
Yeah. Yeah. So, what are you ladies doing with your toast?
Fuck toast. I'm eating a roast beef sandwich.
You're not even going to toast the roll?
Huh?
Oh, not even going to toast it a little.
No, a little, but not enough to really consider it toast.
Yeah, it's just kind of warmed, if you would.
Yeah.
I know where you get those roast beefs from, so I know how to make their sandwiches.
Yes, I just made my... I'm hungry.
Okay. All right. Wow. Magic?
I think I'm getting dragged to the Cheesecake Factory tonight.
Nice. That's a great...
For the second time this week, I am going to be so bored.
What about you, Ninja?
I'm actually going to forego the toast right now because I'm going out to an event this evening where I will probably be imbibing many things of an alcoholic nature as I am over.
You should take it as an emergency sobering ration.
That's what I was going to say. So I'm going to forego it right now but pack it up later as the emergency...
sobriety rations.
Yeah, yeah. There you go. I like that. I like it. My
emergency sobriety rations.
So my ESR.
ESR.
Yeah, I'll take it as my ESR. Because I will probably need it. So, I'm Ninja Sista.
I'm Pandalicious.
And I'm Magic Mystic Girl.
And we are out.
Peace! Ow!